Hallelujah. Hallelujah. He's so good. Yes, he is. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. He's so good.
Amen. While you listen to me, try to sing. Open your Bibles to the book of St. John. Amen. Chapter 4. St. John chapter 4. I speak to your hearts this morning. A thirst for living water. It's nothing like having a natural thirst for regular H2O. Amen. One of my favorite comedic movies, it was kind of silly, was it The Water Boy? Amen. The quality of the H2O makes a difference. It's nothing like good, clean, crisp, pure water that quenches the palate, the thirst. And I know, especially being here in Florida and being especially getting through this summer, amen, we've all taken our quantities of water in copious amounts, hopefully. Amen. We need water to survive. Water, you can survive a time without food. I don't remember the days, but water, you need that every day. Water refreshes. Water, it hydrates us. It aids in digestion. It replenishes us. It revives us. It flushes out the toxins in our body. Water has so many natural uses, and that's why it's important. They say that we should drink a certain amount of water a day. Anybody know that number? See if, what is that? 8 glasses of water a day? Now, let's be honest. Let me see a show of hands. How many drank 8 glasses of water a day? Raise your hand. Let me see it. Okay, y'all all in trouble. Amen. You need to drink at least, and I didn't raise my hand either. Okay. Now, to say that, I transition. If our bodies need that natural water, how much more do we need the water of God's word to quench? And just as natural water does all of those things that I mentioned, spiritual water, it speaks of cleansing. The water of God's word washes us, purifies us, hydrates us in our spirit man. Job said, "Thy word, O Lord, is more important than the necessary food and drink that I take, that I eat." It's something about the water of God's word, the water symbolic of his spirit abiding deep down inside of us. We need the water, because without water, we'll shrivel up naturally and spiritually and die. Take you to St. John chapter 4. Can somebody stand up and read that first verse for me, nice and loud? Amen. Give me a mic so you can speak into the mic too, please. I might call on you a few times today. That's St. John chapter 4, verse number 1. You have that. Go ahead and read.
"When therefore the Lord knew how the Pharisees had heard that Jesus made and baptized more disciples than John."
Okay. Therefore, we see that the Pharisees were getting nervous. They were already a threatened, insecure bunch of folk. Amen. Who they demonstrated that when they saw the ministry of John. We know that they were all about control and power, and they wanted to be in charge religiously. So we see here that somehow they had heard that this was taking place. Read verse 2.
Though Jesus himself baptized not, but his disciples.
But the truth of the matter is Jesus didn't actually do the baptizing. He commissioned his disciples. They were the ones who did the baptizing. Amen. So during this time, you still had John the Baptist. He was still baptizing. And now you have Jesus' disciples baptizing. And it seems as though now the focus has shifted off of John the Baptist, because Jesus' ministry and his disciples with him seem to be doing more baptizing than even John had. And so that really made the Pharisees nervous. Again, it was all about control, about religious control, political control, capturing and regulating the hearts and minds of the people. So this got extra interest for the Pharisees. But the scripture says that Jesus himself didn't do it. He delegated this responsibility to his disciples. So with that, read verse 3, please.
He left Judea and departed again into Galilee.
He left Judea. At that point, remember, Jesus, everything that Jesus is doing, amen, he's working on a divine time clock. And he did not want to draw unnecessary attention or try to force an encounter with the Pharisees. So with this in mind, Jesus did not tarry there, but it said he departed again to, he had been there before, to Galilee. Read verse 4, please.
And he must needs go through Samaria.
And the Bible says, and he, your Bible says, must needs go through Samaria. He needed to go through Samaria. Now, to give you a little bit of history, amen, there were different routes that you could take to go to Galilee. But Samaria was probably the quickest route to go through Samaria. But there were many times, many Jews often avoided going through Samaria because there was a dislike between the Jews and the Samaritans. It was the shortest distance, but Jesus said he must need go through Samaria. Now, there are a lot of things that I could say here, but a couple of things that we're going to approach here. Number one, Jesus, knowing all things, had a divine appointment with a woman. And Jesus could have gone the other route, but Jesus, knowing the hostility, knowing the suspicion, knowing the distrust between the Jews and the Samaritans, he purposely chose to go through Samaria. Now, again, to give you a little history, amen, the most common view as the origin of the Samaritans is that they were a mixed race who developed as a result of intermarriages between the earlier Hebrews of the northern kingdom of Israel and the Assyrian settlers in Israel following the captivity of the northern kingdom. Other pagans eventually infiltrated the land and mingled with them. So we see here that the Jews felt that they were not pure breed Jews. Amen. They felt like they were inferior. They were a compilation of different nationalities gathered together who really were not real Hebrew in terms of their genealogy. So that was part of the reason. It was a lot of mistrust there. Getting back to verse 4, and it said, and he needs must go through Samaria. Verse 5 says, so he came to a city of Samaria, which is called Sychar. Now, as he came to this city near the plot of the ground that Jacob, amen, that Jacob gave to his son Joseph. So all of this is very strategic. All of this is on a divine timetable. And to show you the significance of where Jesus purposely went through, we think about the location. It says it was Samaria, which is called Sychar. Amen. This is also known as the place where Abraham first arrived into Canaan from Babylonia. You can look that up in Genesis 12 and 6. It is also the place where God first appeared to Abraham in Canaan and renewed the promise of giving the land to him and his descendants. That's Genesis 12 and 7. This is also the place where Abram built an altar and called upon the name of the Lord, Genesis 12 and 8. Also, this is known as where Jacob bought a piece of land from a Canaanite named Hamor for 100 pieces of silver, Genesis 33 and 19. Sychar, also called Shechem, was also the place where Dinah, the daughter of Jacob, was raped, and the sons of Jacob massacred the men in the city in retaliation, Genesis 34. Finally, this is where the bones of Joseph were eventually buried when they were carried up from Egypt, Joshua 24, 32. So Jesus said, I must need go to Samaria. Jesus, knowing the distrust, knowing the friction between the two groups, purposely and strategically chose this road, this itinerary, because he was going to use this as an opportunity to begin the process of healing between peoples. Amen. If anything, you can see that Jesus, amen, was in favor, amen, of unifying everybody regardless of their ethnicity, their group, their lineage, amen, their genealogy. Jesus, amen, had a mission, amen, to bring about restoration to all people. So as he went to Samaria, amen, it says here, amen, now Jacob's well was there, verse 6, Jesus, therefore, being wearied from his journey. Now you see, amen, here is the very human side of the Lord, amen. He was God, but he was a man. He was the God man, amen. And even though he was divine, amen, but yet he was fully human, understanding the frailties and the weaknesses and the things that the human body can go through. He was tired. Look to your neighbor and said, he was tired. Amen. So he identifies with us, amen, in our frailty, in our weakness, and in our humanity, because this is one of the places that we can read that Jesus was tired. Amen. It says he was wearied from his journey, sat thus by the well, and it was about the sixth hour. So Jesus had taken this long journey, amen. Some of us, you know, amen, try to walk down the street in the summertime here in Florida, amen. Can you imagine being in desert dry places, amen, where you don't have 7-Elevens on the corners and Wawa's, amen, and you can't get Slurpees and all of that stuff. So Jesus was wearied and tired and thirsty. He was tired in his body. So he sat, he found a well, Jacob's well, and he sat upon it, and it was about the sixth hour. It was about 12 noon. It was high noon. It was probably the hottest part of the day, amen, getting to the hottest part of the day. And the Bible says, and being weary from his journey, sat thus by the well. It was about the sixth hour. Now, what's so awesome about the Lord, amen, this is why he needs must go through Samaria, because there was an appointment that was divinely scheduled, amen, that the Lord knew that he would have this encounter with this Samaritan woman, amen. Just a pause right there, amen. God is always on time. Amen. Many times, amen, you don't even realize it, that God knows where you are, where you're going, what's happening all around you, and God is aware of everything that's going on in your life. Amen. Sometimes we think we're all by ourselves and we think that we're all alone. And you don't understand that the Lord is saying, I must need go see Pastor Marion. I must need go see, amen, Sister Glenora. Amen. I've got to talk to my manservant. Amen. I've got to talk to my woman servant. Amen. I've got an encounter, amen, with one of my children. Amen. I've got to meet them at the place of the altar. I've got to give them some courage. I've got to give them some direction. I've got to give them some wisdom. I've got to show up in their life. I must need go to Orlando, Florida. I must need go to New York. I must need go to wherever God wants to go. So God, that's why he said all along, the others didn't realize it. They may have thought maybe Jesus just didn't want to take the long way. Amen. There were other ways to go to Galilee, but they were longer. You could go by the coast. Amen. You could go on the opposite end of the coast, which would have taken longer. And probably, and maybe some of his disciples' mind, Jesus, they said he just wanted to take the shortcut. But it wasn't about the physical aspects of the journey. It was about the divine encounter that God had planned on having with this woman. Thank you, Lord. I'm so glad that God would take the time, amen, to meet with us, amen, that he would sup with us and commune with us. And just here, just one woman. It wasn't a crowd. It wasn't a pantheon full of all different spectators. It wasn't a stadium full of people. But for one woman, he said, I must need go to Samaria. One woman. One encounter. Amen. One appointment. That just show us how much God loves us and thinks about us and is concerned about us, that he would detour, amen, and he would come specifically to where we are to bring about healing in our lives, to bring about wisdom in our lives, amen. So getting back to the story, amen, so he sat thus by the well. It was about 12 noon. He was tired. He was hot. Amen. He was exhausted. Amen. The sun was beaming down, and there he thus sat by the well. Amen. It was about the sixth hour. Now, verse 7 says, now a woman of Samaria came to draw water. Now, this isn't all by coincidence or happenstance. He sat there knowing that this woman would show up. Amen. So she came to draw water. Jesus said to her, give me to drink. He said, give me to drink. Now, first of all, a Jew, even a priest or a rabbi, it was against customs or the law for them to even speak to a woman, especially that of a Samaritan woman. Amen. That they could not even address them. So Jesus was letting you know, listen, I am the fulfillment of the law. Listen, nothing's going to hold me back, amen, from stepping into your life. Not tradition of men, not anything. Amen. So he said to her, give me a drink. For his disciples had gone away into the city to buy food. So he was there by himself. Isn't that something? Have a one-on-one consultation. God says, I want to have a communion just with you. Isn't that just like God in our prayer closet, that when we pray, do we really understand that we're communing with God, just us? Here, the creator of the universe, the creator of the heavens and earth, the creator of everything, he says, I want to have a communion with you, that you can come boldly to the throne of grace in the time of need. Whatever you're dealing with, whatever you're facing with, whatever you're struggling with, that you can come to God, amen, and that he will commune with you. You can come into his presence saying, Abba, Father, Lord, I seek your face. God, I thank you for this opportunity of coming together. And that's what the importance of prayer. Amen. That's where we come together. That's our meeting place. Amen. Is the importance of understanding our connection with God is through our prayer life. We all have to reexamine our prayer lives. Amen. Is there other things that are a priority to you than meeting the Lord at the well? He says, I'm waiting on you. I'm sitting here waiting for that encounter, but many of us go about our business saying, Lord, I'll get with you. I've got something to do. I've got some errands to run. I've got some business to attend to. And the Lord is sitting figuratively there at that well, waiting to pour into your life. And we come up with every reason why we won't go and sit before the Master. The importance of having that relationship, that fellowship, that time of restoration, that time of rejuvenation, that time of impartation, that time where the Father can pour into our lives, that's the benefit of our prayer life. That is our umbilical cord to heaven. Ladies, you know with the anatomy of the body, amen, with the young baby, everything is being transferred to that baby in your womb through that umbilical cord. Nourishment, oxygen, everything that's needed. Waste is being removed. Everything is through that umbilical cord that's connecting that baby to the mother's body. Amen. Our umbilical cord to heaven is our prayer life. It is how we commune with God. So why would we neglect that prayer life, that powerful thing that God has given us? And he says, I want to commune with you. I want to sup with you. I want to break bread with you. I want to hear from you. I want to speak to you. I want you to tell me what's going on. And what's beautiful about that is no matter what you're dealing with, you can tell God, Lord, I'm dealing with frustration. I'm dealing with anger. I'm dealing with rejection. I'm dealing with low self-esteem. God, I put a smile on my face, but really I'm hurting and I'm weeping on the inside. I know you can't tell everybody what's going on in totality in your life, but when you get to that place, when you have the meeting at the well, that you can pour your heart out to God. I said, Father, I'm struggling with anger. I'm struggling with unforgiveness. They hurt me. They rejected me. They did so many hurtful and harmful things, Lord. How am I supposed to? And this is the time when you empty yourself. And God is saying, I know, give it to me. He trades out the old for the new. Amen. He pours fresh wine into your life. Amen. Just as I said, the process of the child, the waste from the baby gets taken away and nutrients, oxygen, and all the beneficial things are infused. It's like a highway. One goes out, the other comes in. God is saying, give me all. Cast all your cares upon me, for I careth much for you. Give your burdens to the Lord. Cast your burdens to the Lord. Amen? Whatever it is, God is saying, thrust it to me. Throw it down. Amen? He's saying, lay aside every weight and the sin that will so easily beset you. Amen? Whatever it is that you feel is holding you, God said, lay it aside. Give it to me. Said, I'm struggling. Lord, he's just saying, give it to me. Trust me. Every weight. Weight is not necessarily sin. It can lead to sin, but it can lead to your hindrance from making progress in the things of God. Let's tell the truth here. People sometimes can be a weight. Let me say that. The wrong kind of people can be a weight. Amen? There are some relationships you've got to say, Lord, I'm going to lay this because the results of this relationship is toxic. God is telling us that, listen, it's not that you hate the people, but it's not good for you. Certain relationships that are toxic, you got to say, listen, I love you, but I can't hook up with you like this, amen, because there's a toxicity level that always, every time we get together, is that the result is poison, strife, all sorts of, you got to reexamine that. Say, wait a minute, brother, is it me? First examine ourselves. Lord, it may be me. Cleanse me. Check me. Purify me. The other person say, it ain't me. Then you got to recognize it's the enemy. But in every case, you got to examine that thing. Amen? So here was this encounter. So the Lord says to this woman, give me to drink. And then verse 9 going down, and the woman said of Samaria said unto him, how is it that you, being a Jew, she recognized, number one, she observed, amen. Well, how does she know he was a Jew? Number one, by his dress, by his speech. You know, you could wear different garments. They knew who were who sometimes based on the type of embroidery or the type of garments or the way that it was clad. And sometimes by the dialect, the way that you spoke, they knew. Just like we know, you're from New York. You know when somebody is different. Amen. Forget that one. Amen. And so you recognize. So she recognized that he, a number one, wasn't there. She said, So how is it that you could talk to me? Why would you speak to me and ask me, being a Jew? Amen. Don't you realize that I am a Samaritan woman? And he says, for Jews have no dealings with Samaritans. Amen. She said, you being a Jew, do you know I'm a Samaritan woman? Do you realize, number one, that you should even be talking to me? Jesus answered and said unto her, if you knew the gift of God and who it was who says to you, give me a drink, you would have asked him that he would give you this living water. The woman said to him, sir, you have nothing to draw with, and the well is deep. Where then do you get this living water? She's thinking natural water. She's not understanding, amen, that he's speaking about the living water, eternal life. She's not understanding. He's talking about the Spirit of God, the Holy Spirit. Amen. She's still trying to figure things out with the natural. The Bible said that the natural man receiveth not the things of the Spirit because they're foolishness. Amen. And they're spiritually discerned. So she could not understand that he was talking about a different kind of water. It's like he speaks to us. He says, come and taste and see that the Lord is good. He says, I want to commune with you. I want to pour into you. Amen. That out of your belly shall flow rivers of living water. Amen. Here, this well, and the Bible says it was deep. And if you can see the parallel in the natural, it's symbolic. Number one, it was a deep. In other words, this natural world, she was saying that this well has been around for a while. She said, number one, you don't even have anything to draw with. Let's read on. Verse 12 says, are you greater than our father Jacob, who gave us the well and drank from it himself, as well as his sons and his livestock? Jesus answered and said unto her, whoever drinks of this water will thirst again, the natural water. But whoever drinks of the water that I shall give him will never, somebody say never, thirst. But the water that I shall give him will become in him a fountain of water springing up into everlasting life. Then the woman said unto him, sir, give me this water that I may not thirst nor come here to draw. Jesus said to her, go call your husband and come here. Now, Jesus, again, he must need go to Samaria. He was there with an appointment. Amen. A divine appointment. Recognizing, number one, prior to receiving this, we need to deal with the sin in your life. Amen. And she says, I'm ready to receive this water. I want this impartation of water. Amen. But Jesus knew what was going on in her life. And Jesus quickly said, he said, go and tell your husband and come here. And then the woman answered and said, I have no husband. Jesus said to her, you have well said, I have no husband, for you have had five husbands, and the one whom you have now is not your husband. In that you spoke truly. The woman said to him, sir, I perceive that you were a prophet. Now, in other words, you can look at that, too, is she kind of diverted the attention off of her sin. Amen. She kind of switched it up a little bit. Amen. Here, he got a little too close to her problem, to her issues, amen, to her secret lifestyle. And God is saying, I don't have no problem with blessing you and giving you this eternal living water that's going to spring up into everlasting life. But you first got to confess with your mouth. You got to believe with your heart. You got to repent of your sins. You've got to deal with the iniquity. Amen. And God says, I will bless you. Many of us, we want the blessings, but we don't want to deal with the sin. Many of us, we want the gifts, but we don't want to deal with the iniquity. God is saying, listen, I want to give you everything, but you've got to come right. Amen. You've got to empty yourself. Amen. You've got to acknowledge that you're a sinner, acknowledge that you need to be saved, acknowledge that you've fallen short of the glory of God, and acknowledge that you need a Savior. And then God says, I will bless you. Amen. Then she says, our fathers worship on this mountain. And she's not out thinking Jesus. Jesus knows where she's at. She says, our fathers worshiped on this mountain, and you Jews say that in Jerusalem is the place where we ought to worship. Now, at that time, she was referring to it where they worshiped, because a century and a half prior to this, that mountain, it was destroyed. Amen. But it was the place where they believed, speaking of the Samaritans, that Moses commissioned an altar on the Mount Gerizim. That's the mountain that she's speaking about. So she's saying, well, listen, our fathers worship on this mountain, Mount Gerizim, and you Jews say that in Jerusalem is a place where one ought to worship. That was kind of a stumbling stone for them. Jesus said unto her, woman, believe me, the hour is coming when you will neither on this mountain nor in Jerusalem worship the Father. He's trying to graduate her. You worship what you do not know. We know that we worship, for salvation is of the Jews. God chose to come through the Jewish people, amen, into the world. But he says in verse 3, the key verse here, he says, but the hour is coming and now is. And he's speaking for her and even those who are after. He says the hour is coming and now is when the true worshipers will worship the Father. In spirit and in truth, for the Father seeketh such to worship him. He's saying to her, woman, it's not about a location, geographical location. It's not about a place either here or in Jerusalem, but the Father is seeking such that'll worship him in spirit and in truth in their hearts. Amen. Your heart shall be that temple of worship when you open your mouth and offer up the sacrifice of praise. It's at that point, amen, that God is looking for these type of worshipers, no matter who you are or where you are, but the Father seeketh worshipers such as this. Then he says, listen to this. Let me talk about this. To worship in the spirit means you are concerned with spiritual realities, not so much with a place, with places or outward sacrifices or cleansing and trappings, but you know what it means to worship God in the spirit. To worship God in truth means to worship according to the whole counsel of God's word, especially in light of New Testament revelation. It also means that you come to God in truth, not in pretense or a mere display of spirituality. So the Father is seeking such, amen, that's going to know what it means, amen, to worship out of in spirit and in truth according to his holy word, amen, to worship God. The Bible said God is a spirit, and they that worship him must worship him in spirit and in truth. Amen. And that's what God is looking for us today. Men and women, amen, who is not going to get caught up in dogma and all sorts of religious dogma. But he said, listen, I want you to understand that God wants you to worship me in spirit and in truth, to have a real relationship with the Father, that you can cry out, Abba, Father. Verse 25 says, the woman saith unto him, I know that Messiah is coming, who is called Christ. When he comes, he will tell us all things. Jesus said to her, I who speak to you am he. Could you imagine that moment? Wouldn't you want to have a picture of that? Amen. Talking about having a camera. Amen. Seeing her expression. And he says, I that talketh to you am he. Man, I came all the way, amen, for you, woman of God. I came all the way to redeem you. I came all the way that you would take this message and take it to the people and take it to everyone that you've encountered, that Messiah has come, that he is here. And he's not looking for worshipers to go up on that mountain. He's not looking for worshipers to go up on this mountain, but he's looking for worshipers that knows what it means to open their mouth and proclaim the glory of the Lord, to speak the word of God in truth and in faith, worshiping him in spirit and in truth. He says to her, I am he, the one who sat on the well, amen. I came for you. And you think about the symbolism of the well, symbolism of the well. She said, the well is deep, amen. And in similar fashions, God is saying, my well is deeper. And I'm able to sustain you even greater than Jacob's well. He said, my thirst, amen, signifies the thirst that humanity has, amen, for their spirits to be quenched with the living water of God's spirit. He says, I want you to understand, woman, who it is that is in front of you, that I came to bring this message, to bring healing, to bring restoration, to bring deliverance, to bring salvation, to unify all people. So many times, amen, we look and we understand that the differences, the discriminations between races and even men with women. But if you really look at the scriptures and the teachings of the Bible, you see all throughout that Jesus in his ministry, he was always pulling down those strongholds. He was always going against those traditions. Amen. That even at that time, a woman could not even give a testimony in a court of law. Amen. Her word was not even considered worthy to even hear before a council. That a woman couldn't even speak. But Jesus, he was tearing these things down. He was addressing them. And he was letting people know that, yes, I am the same God that made male and female. In Christ Jesus, there is neither bond nor free, Jew or Greek, male or female, but we're all one in Christ Jesus. He came to tear down the wall of racial prejudices and indifference. He came to tear down the walls of stereotypes, male and female oppression. He came to tear down all of those religious ideas of what's right and what's wrong. Jesus, if you talk about a revolution, if you're talking about stirring up some stuff, amen, get in the word. Amen. And you have many today, I just got to say it, in our Christian circles, amen, that still don't get it. That still don't understand the liberation, the grace, the freedom, the liberty. Amen. The Bible said, whom the Son hath set free is free indeed. Whether you're female, whether you're male, doesn't matter. God, if he sets you free, your enemy was not each other. Your enemy was the devil. And now that I've broken those chains and now that I've destroyed his power over your life, amen, you are no longer bound to the things of the world, but you are free in Christ Jesus. Listen, in this battle, amen, we're going to need the whole family doing warfare against the devil. I'm going to need my wife. You're going to need your husband. You're going to need the kids. We're going to need everybody coming up against the enemy. It's not no more woman, you be quiet, or man, you sit over there, or woman, you sit here. Right now, God is saying, I'm reuniting the family back, that you can be an awesome force, that you both can speak up against the strategies and the doctrines of the devil, and that you can be those examples that will open your mouth and proclaim the word of God and be that example, be those leaders, and be that man and woman of faith that will go forward into battle doing the work of God. One of the greatest lies that the enemy wants to bring is to cause division even between us, between our sexes. But if we really realize, amen, that we're here to work together, amen, what we can accomplish. Amen. That is so important. Everyone standing. Thank you, Lord. The importance. Of being filled. God wants us to walk in this water. He wants this water to abide in us. Many of us are living a parched life. You're thirsty, and you don't have to be. The well is full. It's overflowing. All he's saying is drink. Open your heart. Open your mouth. Receive the engrafted word, which is able to save your soul. He's saying, I want to pour into you. I want to bless you. In the name of Jesus. Are you thirsty? Are you just barely getting by? I don't know about you, but I want a tsunami flow in my life. I want the living water to be springing up into my life. That out of my belly shall flow rivers. Not droplets, not sprinkles, not mists of water, but rivers of living water. The power of His Holy Spirit in our lives. Are we living beneath our privilege, not understanding what's available to us? He sent His Spirit here that we will receive power. He said, you will receive power after the Holy Ghost has come upon you. Power to live a victorious life. Power to overcome the strategies and tactics of the enemy. Power to resist the trappings and the devices of sin. Power to be witnesses. Power to go to the hedges and the highways, compelling men and women to be saved. We need the power of the Holy Spirit operating and flowing in our lives. How many of us are dry, parched? Is there a desert in your heart? When everything has been made available, I want to pray with you, amen. Just briefly, it's not many of us here. If everyone can briefly come to the altar. I'm not going to keep you but a second. Just hallelujah.